Here's Andy Udman.
It starts with children. We're putting it on babies. We're putting it on kids. Kids are going through puberty earlier. You're getting menopause. I mean, you're seeing the onset of menopause. I started perimenopause at 36. You're seeing so much hormone disruption, infertility, so many different things that is getting more and more common, and they're giving you more and more drugs to help you with it when they actually should be looking at maybe what's causing this. Look what we put on our body every single day. How many chemicals every single day?
So let's take a closer look at this toxic outrage where it seeps into our lives every day, in the bathroom. The average woman in the U.S. uses about 12 personal care products daily. The average man, about 6. Each product containing a dozen or more chemicals. Less than 20% of chemicals in cosmetics have been assessed for safety by the industry's safety panel, so we just don't know what they do to us when we use them. Would you fly on an airline that only inspects 20% of its planes?
There's a question. Do you even think about this subject, folks? The chemicals you put on your body in the morning. You heard the figures. The average man, 6 products. I know a few who use less. Of course, then I know a few who know more. But that's more than I need to know. Women, 12 products. 12 products. What is in those products? You'd be shocked. You've seen the big, long names on the back of the jars. You don't know what they mean. Chemicals. Yeah, chemicals. Chemicals. There's your clue. Chemicals in the products you use. Smells nice. Nice and bubbly. Nice and slippery. Makes you feel good. But what is in those products? We're going to talk about that this morning, and I wonder if you even have this concern. Have you even thought about this? Let's open the phone lines right from the very beginning. Have you even thought about what is in the personal care products that you use in the bathroom each morning or each evening or whenever you use those products? Goodness knows, when you walk into Shoppers Drug Mart, there's an array of products, and I can't imagine how many chemicals. Joining me this morning is Pam Killeen. Morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
12 products, is that what you think the average woman uses in the morning?
Yeah, they use products? A lot of different products to beautify themselves in the morning, but unfortunately a lot of these products are actually toxifying them. There are ingredients in these products that have names that are impronounceable, letters as long as the alphabet. These are toxic ingredients. And people need to be more discerning when they choose these products off the shelves.
In a couple of those clips we heard off the top, menopause at 36.
Well, some of these chemicals, what they're doing is they're interfering with hormonal function in the body. They're estrogen mimickers, for example. So it's very confusing for the body to take in to absorb these chemicals.
What kinds of products are we talking about?
Anything from shampoos to conditioners to soaps, lipsticks, mascaras. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Give me a couple of brand names. Revlon.
Well, this morning we're going to talk about two prevalent names. It's L'Oreal and Revlon. And our guest this morning is Paul Pistano. He's the research analyst with the Environmental Working Group, and they've launched a campaign asking L'Oreal and Revlon to basically clean up their products. So good morning, Paul. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on this campaign that you have.
Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Canada. How are you this morning?
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Not trying to get personal. How many products did you use in the bathroom this morning?
I think 5.
You know what? It's radio. Yeah. It's radio. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, there you go. No, but I mean, we count, you know, everything from toothpaste to deodorant to whatever fragrance you can. I mean, those are all personal care products.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at every ingredient in these products as well to see if they, for example, cause cancer.
Yes. So I work for the Environmental Working Group. We have a cosmetics database where we analyze a lot of the different ingredients that are used in these personal care products. But overall, we also, you know, have launched a campaign to petition Revlon and L'Oreal to remove some of these hazardous ingredients.
There are already people, and I have this thing called ESP, which all radio talk show hosts need to have to sense what their audience is saying. They're already saying, Paul, you're just a do-gooder. I love my shampoo. I have no health effects whatsoever. You're just looking for evil where there is none.
I mean, you know, some people would like to say that, but at the same time, there have been scientific studies that, you know, have associated a lot of these ingredients to some of these health effects. You may not experience it yourself, but, you know, you expose yourself to dozens and dozens of these chemicals every day, and, you know, exposure can can mount up, and you never know down the line, you know, it's a possibility because of these scientific studies.
No. Give us one study, if you would, Pam. Pam has a question in just a moment. But just to be really, to nail down what you've just said, give me one study about one chemical that is very clear what the effects are.
So there is this type of chemical called phthalates. Now, they have been associated with male infertility, for example. There was a study back in 2008, I believe, where they looked at a group of men who have been enrolled in infertility clinic. I believe it was in Michigan. I can't remember the exact place. But and what they found that there was a small link between, you know, male infertility and the exposure to these phthalates. Now, these phthalates are in many products and cosmetics. Usually you can't see them on the product label because they are part of a the ingredient called fragrance, which could be a mix of a whole host of chemicals.
They're used to enhance the fragrance so it persists and spreads out to wider periphery, correct? Essentially, yes. That's what phthalates are. Now, Andy and I are going to put out a challenge to you. Can you pronounce actually some of the chemicals that you're seeing on the actual label of L'Oreal and Revlon products? Can you throw us some names, and are you an expert at pronouncing them?
I don't know if I'm an expert, but I have looked through some of these along with my colleagues. You know, one of which is DMDM hydantoin, which is a preservative that you see in a number of products. What it does, it actually releases very, very low levels of formaldehyde, which is actually a known carcinogen according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It's there, you know, to limit the growth of bacteria, to basically lengthen the shelf life of your products. There are some, which Pam mentioned earlier, that have been linked with endocrine disruption, such as butylparaben, isopropylparaben, and other classes of parabens and phthalates.
You can pronounce a few. That's
easy,
good.
easy for you to say. Paul, you, a number of times already you have used at very low levels and a small link to, and that sort of goes back to what I'm saying. I'm just being the devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Some people at this point think you're just blowing smoke, that these products are totally safe, the exposure level is very low, and there's no proof whatsoever that we've been adversely affected.
So that's an interesting point that you brought up. In the U.S., there's actually the cosmetics market is very, very underregulated. For instance, the Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to test their products for safety. And, you know, as you mentioned in the clip earlier, where, you know, only 20% of ingredients that are used in products out there have been tested for safety. So it's a very, very small number. And, you know, I'm of the belief that if it's more about the precaution, you know, if some studies have suggested that maybe some of these ingredients are linked to endocrine disruption or maybe even cancer, that, you know, might as well avoid them anyway, you know, if you can, because through our database, through SkinDeep, we actually have listed a lot of safer alternatives, safer products that consumers can use.
You mentioned the Environmental Working Group. I don't want to assume that everybody knows what that is.
Sure. So the Environmental Working Group, we are a small nonprofit research and advocacy organization. We're based in Washington, D.C., and we work on a lot of different issues, one of which is environmental and public health. And, you know, we deal with consumer products, you know, not just cosmetics, but also cleaning products, your tap water and, you know, other chemicals that you might be exposed to.
We have to take a short break. We have to take a short break. I want to ask you this when we come back,
sure.
And that is children, products and children. We all love our babies to smell nice, and I know most moms use all kinds of products. I know Pam has mentioned she's particularly concerned about the impact of these products on children. We'll be back to ask you about that in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Can I tell you, I love my Pantene Pro-V. Of the dozen or so personal care products that I use every day, it's the one I can't live without. It says it gives my dull hair the ultimate cool shine. How does it do that? I was wondering that while I was lathering it in my hair one day, so I read the ingredients right here. Sodium lauryl sulfate, tetrasodium EDTA, methyl isothiazolinone. What is this stuff? I took this list to some scientists who know how to read it. Turns out my Pantene contains a chemical linked to cancer. It's like a giant experiment. We're using all these mystery chemicals and just waiting to see what happens. One thing we do know is that they're getting inside us. I had my body's toxicity levels tested, and I'm loaded with things like mercury, flame retardants, triclosan, and lead. We all are. Even babies are being born pre-polluted. Now, I know we can't live in a lead-free world, but do we have to put lead in our lipstick?
It's just one of the many videos you'll find online. That particular one, folks, I particularly like that one. It's the story of cosmetics by Ann Leonard. I want to bring into the conversation right here in London, Mallory Knuster from the health food store at the market called Homeopathy London. Mallory, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hi, Andy. Thank you very much.
What is the concern out there that drives people to your store?
Well, some of it's already been discussed, but of course, I'm seeing a shift in consumers looking for alternatives to traditional health and beauty products that contain ingredients that, as Pam said, are a little more pronounceable, but safer for their skin as they become more aware of the potential dangers they're putting on their skin.
Give me probably the number one concern that you hear from your clients there at Covent Garden Market in downtown London when it comes to personal care products.
Well, most recently it's been the endocrine disruptors, particularly like parabens and BHT, things like that, of course, with the awareness of how they can affect hormonal systems. But I would also say reactions to common, care products. A lot of people exhibit symptoms that aren't so desirable, like rashes and things like that.
Let me bounce that same question over to you, Paul Pustano, research analyst with the Environmental Working Group. What are the primary concerns that you're hearing when it comes to the chemicals and personal care products?
I would say a lot of the same things. The endocrine disruption is one of them. There are a number of ingredients on cosmetics products that have been shown in some studies that they might have endocrine disruption. Also, again, the rashes too. Some of the ingredients I mentioned earlier, for instance, the DMDM hydantoin, the formaldehyde that's released, that's also actually a skin sensitizer, meaning that any repeated exposure to it can actually increase the chance of having an allergic reaction.
Now, I used to be very chemically sensitive, Andy. I used to have multiple chemical sensitivities. Fortunately, I've boosted my system and I no longer react when I walk down, a detergent aisle in the grocery store anymore. But one of the things when I was very, very sick is I could hardly handle the fragrance. The fragrance, if somebody walked into a room wearing any kind of fragrance, whether it was off their clothes due to the detergent they were using or whether it was a perfume of some kind, it would knock me on my can. And that is something that is probably one of the most overt reactions that people can experience today, especially if they have some sort of compromised immune system.
Paul, let me ask you to comment on that, because that's where I was going to take this. There's the concerns about a link between the chemicals in personal care products and various diseases. But, of course, there are other issues, like people just reacting to some of these chemicals, to the point now where we even have union contracts which specify a prohibition against some of these personal care products.
So I'm actually not aware of that. But yes, some of these fragrances, as Pam mentioned, they are composed of a variety of different chemicals. A lot of this is proprietary information, and it's actually not even listed on the cosmetics label, at least here in the U.S. A lot of mainstream products that list the word fragrance on the ingredient list, that could be, again, a mixture of different chemicals that may or may not have an effect on people who maybe have a sensitivity to it.
Mm-hmm. And this has been long running in history. The fragrance industry has always had some sort of secret sort of coventry over their ingredients because they don't want their ingredients or their recipes to be stolen. So this might help the industry, but it certainly doesn't help the consumer.
Very interesting, Pam, what you were saying about you having the sensitivity to certain fragrances, and you've overcome that.
That's right. Yeah. But I had to work very hard to get my immune system back. But there's still millions of people out there suffering that are, struggling if they go into an elevator and somebody's wearing perfume. I mean, it can just make you dizzy and sick and nauseous, and they get terrible reactions from these fragrances.
I won't be specific, but there's someone in this building who has a very powerful hand cream, and it doesn't knock me on my can, but it's, whoa, less is more there, honey. but literally, in some workplaces, more and more we're hearing about some of these personal care products just being banned because of people.
Yeah, well, in some buildings, they have a warning sign right on the door. Do not enter if you're wearing any kind of fragrance, because so many people are sensitive today.
Mallory, is that part of this picture for you as well at the health food store in downtown London?
Oh, absolutely. We definitely are fragrance-free. Well, we definitely try to promote that in the store. Of course, I'm very much like Pam in that if someone walks by me wearing a strong synthetic fragrance, I am very reactive. I can sneeze and things like that. But yes, it's a big thing for a lot of consumers that come in the store, because many of them are suffering from problems with the compromised immune systems, or just have become hypersensitive with the overuse and constant bombardment of chemicals through food, water, and cosmetics.
Mallory, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to get the advice from each of you on this particular question, and that is, what do you do if you are in a workplace where people are wearing strong colognes, perfumes, other products? As we heard off the top, women use an average of 12 products. What are they, Pam? What are the 12
products? Well, we'd be talking about everything from makeup remover to moisturizers, lipstick, mascara, shampoo, conditioner. The list just goes on and on. Deodorant.
One of the ones that I remember from being back on the school bus, a girl would pull this fingernail polish.
Oh, yeah, those are
that
strong.
That stuff is so powerful.
Yes.
You open it at the back of the bus, you smell it at the front of the bus in about 3.5 seconds. If you have some kind of sensitivity to that.
Oh, look at these nail salons and the people who work in them. They wear the masks. Not all of them do. But they clearly know that these substances are very, very toxic.
So the question, and maybe you can help us out, folks out there, how do you deal with colleagues who tend to not just spray, but bathe in some of these chemicals? Do you go to your union boss? What if you don't have a union boss? How do you deal with colleagues if you have that particular issue? Back with all the issues related to the chemicals in our personal care products. What's your story? What are your thoughts? When we come back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
It starts with children. We're putting it on babies. We're putting it on kids. Kids are going through puberty earlier. You're getting menopause. I mean, you're seeing the onset of menopause. I started perimenopause at 36. You're seeing so much hormone disruption, infertility, so many different things that is getting more and more common, and they're giving you more and more drugs to help you with it when they actually should be looking at maybe what's causing this. Look what we put on our body every single day. How many chemicals every single day?
So let's take a closer look at this toxic outrage where it seeps into our lives every day, in the bathroom. The average woman in the U.S. uses about 12 personal care products daily. The average man about 6. Each product containing a dozen or more chemicals. Less than 20% of chemicals in cosmetics have been assessed for safety by the industry's safety panel. So we just don't know what they do to us when we use them. Would you fly on an airline that only inspects 20% of its planes?
If you've just joined us, Andy Udman, along with Pam Killeen, discussing chemicals and personal care products, which is a major health concern. And joining us this morning is Paul Pistano, who is a researcher on this particular subject, and Mallory, who runs a health store in downtown London and sells healthy products that people ask for. Pam, what in this whole area of personal care products, what's your single biggest concern?
Well, I think it's the combination of all of the chemicals. Paul was mentioning earlier about the ingredients and how some of them have been tested for endocrine disruption or whether or not they cause cancer and so on. But what happens when you combine these chemicals? I don't think that there's been any research to show what happens when you put all of these chemicals together in a product and then you combine these chemicals with other products. There's no way to actually really test for that.
Paul, I promised you the question about children, babies, your concern there.
So EWG actually conducted a study several years ago testing the umbilical cord blood in pregnant women, and they found that there are a whole host of chemicals that are found there. So even before a baby is born, that person is already getting exposed to a lot of toxic chemicals through the mother. So this is why it's a big concern for us at Environmental Working Group.
You're talking about chemicals, but also with pesticides as well. They're finding a lot of pesticide residues in the umbilical cords of mothers as well.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pesticides, also chemicals from other consumer products, so not just personal care products. You know, we can talk about tap water, the food that you eat. You mentioned pesticides. So, yes, it's definitely exposure through a lot of different avenues.
Now, the chemical industry does a lot to protect itself, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of the critics that are out there are saying we need more oversight, we need more regulation, we need to find safer alternatives. I mean, the chemical industry is doing everything to fight tooth and nail to prevent a change in the consumption of their products, correct?
Right, yes. I would think it's because, you know, what they're using is probably, you know, more cost, has more benefits to the cost, and probably they don't want to change their formulations, and they don't want to, you know, spend the money on doing research and development on safer alternatives. And again, it's probably because of the bottom line.
Now, what about lead? You've done campaigns on certain products, and one of the things you've looked at is lead. And I know that ladies' lipstick, for example, can be very high in things like lead or even chromium. What is being done at a consumer level and also at the product level? What is happening? What are the companies doing to help make their products safer?
So there are actually a lot of smaller companies, not the mainstream ones that you find, that have been reformulating their products. And that's because there are safe alternatives for ingredients out there. Here in the U.S., we have the Design for an Environment. It's a program by the EPA where they have provided a list of alternatives to the, you know, to the chemicals that are currently being used in consumer products.
Mallory, you're in downtown London there at the Covent Market Garden Homeopathy London in terms of personal care products. What's your number one product and what's the number one concern that drives them to that product?
Well, it's hard to say. We do carry, you know, shampoos, conditioners, soaps, body lotions. I would say a lot of women are concerned about what goes onto their face. So through, you know, makeup or skin moisturizers, that would probably be the biggest one I've seen.
Oh, another big one would probably be baby shampoo and baby soaps,
absolutely,
right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Sorry, Pam.
No,
yeah,
no, sure. I was just going to say, I think EWG has done work on Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo, correct, Paul?
Yeah.
So yes, actually last year Johnson & Johnson pledged that they would remove a number of some of these hazardous ingredients from their products, you know, beginning in 2014. Some of them I mentioned already, you know, the formaldehyde releasers, some of the parabens. They've also pledged to remove another ingredient called 1,4-dioxane, which is actually a probable human carcinogen. So, you know, there are major companies that are making headway into, you know, choosing safer alternatives for their consumers and for their products.
Walmart has had a few brushes with groups who are concerned about these issues.
Sorry, what was that?
Walmart is another retailer, yeah, that's had some brushes with the people who have been fighting for this cause.
Right, yes. Actually, not too long ago, I think it was in the middle of September, Walmart announced their Sustainable Chemistry Initiative. So they have come up with a list of 10 hazardous ingredients. Now, we actually don't know what this list is because they're only providing it to their product suppliers. But what their goal is to limit or completely remove these ingredients from all of the products that they sell at all the Walmart stores.
You're asking L'Oreal and Revlon essentially to remove certain ingredients. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what these ingredients are and how would they actually go about reformulating their products to make them safer?
Right. So, and that's pretty much the point of the petition that we launched, is that we have Johnson and also parabens, which have been associated with endocrine disruption. You know, there is a lot of consumer demand for this. When we first started this petition, we had a goal of 50,000 signatures. Right now, we have over 77,000 signatures.
Wow.
Paul. David Letterman uses a top 10 list to make people laugh. I use a top 10 list to make people cry. Give me some of the top concerns, and you can make it 5, make it 10, of the products that you're concerned about with respect to their impact on people's health. And we're talking, of course, about personal care products.
Top 5 concerns. Okay, so the first one would be skin irritation and just contact allergies. That's one of the things that the immediate concern that you're going to have when you're using cosmetics products. The next one would be the endocrine disruption, because these are chemicals that, you know, work at a very low level that may have an effect down the line. And also just overall exposure to a variety of chemicals. some of which are known carcinogens. The EPA, even the International Agency for Research on Cancer, have a number of chemicals on their list of carcinogens that are showing up on these consumer products.
Let me clarify the question a little. I was actually thinking of 10 products that you're most concerned about, be it shampoo, mascara, lipstick. What would they be?
So it's kind of hard to answer that question just because there are safer alternatives out there. Maybe top one would be fragrance, because a lot of the fragrance that's being sold on the market right now do not have their ingredient lists, fully disclosed. The next one would be, mascara and lipstick. Some of the lipsticks have lead. I don't know what the current market is, if lead-based lipsticks are still being used, but that's definitely a concern as well.
What about sodium lauryl sulfate? I mean, it seems to be in almost everything, including toothpaste.
I haven't looked into sodium lauryl sulfate all that much, so I can't comment on that.
There's just so many ingredients to consider here, thousands of them.
There's a fragrance out there inspired by Lady Gaga, which should give you a clue and make you nervous right there, but there are some horror stories. I won't even mention what...
The one I'm really concerned about is that Axe. I read that if you take Axe and you put it in a jar with a bug, like a cockroach, right? You seal the jar, so you put the fragrance in the jar. You put a cockroach in there. The cockroach is going to die. It's not going to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all these young men are using that product.
I have to ask you this, Paul, because inevitably when we talk about the effects of some of these products, it comes back to affecting your libido. Any link between personal care products and a serious side effect in that area?
So I mentioned phthalates earlier, and some of the studies from a few years ago, do link male infertility. There's one study that we looked into, but it actually involves BPA.
BPA is a chemical used to make the harder plastics, just so people know. Sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's there was one study by the Kaiser Permanente Research Foundation where they found that it diminished sex drive from exposure to BPA, and it's mostly occupational, but still, you're seeing a lot of these chemicals that have effects on your fertility because of their possible link to endocrine disruption.
Let's go back to Mallory at the Covent Garden Market in downtown London. Mallory, in terms of a product that you are most pleased with in terms of its the testimonials you get when it comes to personal care products, what would it be?
Well, I get a lot of great feedback about a Canadian company known as Green Beaver. They're vegan and gluten-free for those with gluten allergies, but they also rate fairly good in environmental working groups. So they do a number of things, from sunscreens to deodorants to shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, and everything in between. And I do praise their products.
Oh, good. So the environmental working group has a Canadian company on their list. That's great news.
Let me ask you go ahead.
Sorry, we do list a lot of Canadian companies on Skin Deep.
Oh, good.
Let me ask you, and Mallory, I'm so glad you raised it, the whole issue of sunscreens, Paul. Concerned?
Yes, there are a lot of concerns. Again, I'm not all that familiar with Canadian regulations, but here in the U.S., we do have a few concerns about the efficacy of sunscreen products. For instance, when you see on the label broad spectrum, we feel that there's inadequate actual broad spectrum protection that these sunscreens provide. Our other concern is retinol palmitate, which has been linked with causing skin lesions, which can lead to cancer on the skin, especially when it's exposed to the sun.
Wow. And you've done a campaign, though. The Environmental Working Group, I think, did a campaign, or was that the campaign for Safe Cosmetics? I think you're affiliated,
right?
The
Environmental Working Group was a founding member of the campaign for Safe Cosmetics, we are not as involved as much with them anymore, but they are still around. They are still recruiting companies who want to take the pledge to move on to safer alternatives to a lot of, the chemicals that they use in their products.
Okay, we are almost out of time. Paul, where can people go to get more information about your work?
I would suggest you go visit EWG.org and to find, safer alternatives to your cosmetics, I would go to EWG.org/skindeep.
Skin Deep is your campaign where you list the alternatives, the safer alternatives.
Yes, it's a consumer database for educational purposes where, you know, consumers can find the safer alternatives to their product.
Excellent.
Paul, appreciate it. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Paul.
And Mallory, just before we let you go, let me just ask you about the gender angle to all of these personal care products. Is it mostly women, only women, who are coming in for these health care products because of their concern about the chemical effects from these products?
Well, I do see, you know, a significant number of men who are concerned about it as well. But I would say probably the you know, customer coming into our location is predominantly women by a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. And you have a wide variety of products there at Homeopathy London. You have a large selection of products that people can seek out, even baby diapers probably, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They're made without chlorine and other things like that. But, yeah, we do carry pretty much a lot of skin options as well as makeup, deodorant, sunscreen, toothpaste, and baby care as well.
Excellent.
And you still get people who just sneer, look down their nose, and go, Mallory, that's all very nice, but I'm perfectly happy with my Revlon and Orion and my Brute cologne, and, and I don't need healthcare products. You still run into those?
Of course. And sometimes, you know, people have an experience with a natural care product, and off the get-go, it might not be what they're used to, so their automatic opinion is, no, I can't use those. But the thing is, sometimes you have to try a few before you find one that works, and you will find one that works and one that you become comfortable with. And I think once you reap the benefits of, you know, a healthier body and less reactions, then it's inspiration enough to continue with that.
Terrific. Right. Mallory, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Short break. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 1051 now. I always say, folks, don't believe anything I say just because I say it. Don't believe anything Pam Colleen says just because she says it. And here's why I feel really good saying that, because when it comes to any of these issues, Pam always comes loaded. She backs the truck up to the back door of the radio station with research to back up what she's saying. And Pam, I want to play a short video, and I wonder if you can set it up for us. The story of cosmetics, Annie Leonard. I was
she's amazing.
Who is she?
She did that first video that just went viral all around the world. It's called The Story of Stuff. And essentially, she talks in this video, and she draws through the entire presentation. It's a black and white presentation. And all she's basically saying is that, you know, we're being conned into buying products that we don't need. We have excess out there, and you know, all this materialism and excess is leading to our demise, not just in terms of our health, but in terms of the environment. So the companies out there have done a very good job. They're very clever at selling us stuff that we don't need. But on top of that, we have to consider, you know, the toxicity of the effects of the products that they're selling us, including these personal care products.
She, I just love watching it. She speaks in plain English. She has little dramatic drawings that really emphasize her points, but let's just share a little bit of one of the videos that you can check out for yourself. Annie Leonard is her name. The Story of Stuff is one of the videos, and
The Story of Cosmetics.
The Story of Cosmetics is this particular one. Here we go.
Can I tell you, I love my Pantene Pro-V. Of the dozen or so personal care products that I use every day, it's the one I can't live without. Says it gives my dull hair the ultimate cool shine. How does it do that? I was wondering that while I was lathering it in my hair one day, so I read the ingredients right here. Sodium lauryl sulfate, tetrasodium EDTA, methyl isothiazolinone. What is this stuff? I took this list to some scientists who know how to read it. Turns out my Pantene contains a chemical linked to cancer, and lots of other products in my bathroom, from sunscreen to lipstick and even baby shampoo, also contain chemicals linked to cancer or other problems like learning disabilities, asthma, and even damaged sperm. Like most parents, I try to keep my family safe, but now I find out my bathroom is a minefield of toxins? What are we supposed to do? To find out the answers, we have to go back to one of the key features of our materials economy: toxics in, toxics out. If, at the factory, you pour toxic chemicals into a product, like baby shampoo, you're going to wind up with toxic baby shampoo and toxics in workers, communities, and, babies. So let's take a closer look at this toxic outrage where it seeps into our lives every day, in the bathroom. The average woman in the U.S. uses about 12 personal care products daily. The average man, about 6. each product containing a dozen or more chemicals. Less than 20% of chemicals in cosmetics have been assessed for safety by the industry's safety panel, so we just don't know what they do to us when we use them. Would you fly on an airline that only inspects 20% of its planes? Of course, not all of these chemicals are dangerous, but we know that many are. Some are carcinogens. That means that they can cause cancer. Others are neurotoxins and reproductive toxins, proven to mess up brain development and reproduction in animals. Wait a minute, we're animals too. It's like a giant experiment. We're using all these mystery chemicals and just waiting to see what happens. One thing we do know is that they're getting inside us. I had my body's toxicity levels tested, and I'm loaded with things like mercury, flame retardants, triclosan, and lead. We all are. Even babies are being born pre-polluted. Now, I know we can't live in a lead-free world, but do we have to put lead in our lipstick?
There it is, Andy Leonard, with some fun and very informative videos. Okay, we almost are out of time. Pam, you have some classes coming up.
That's right. I'm doing a class on digestion, and it's starting on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, for the next two Tuesdays. And basically, it's about simple solutions for bad digestion. And if you want to find out the dates and the times, you can go to my website, which is just pamkilleen.com. And the last two Wednesdays of the month, I'm doing a class on sexual healing, why we're seeing so much infertility, low libido, erectile dysfunction, birth defects in children, low birth weight babies. Why are we seeing all these problems?
Is there a common thread?
Yeah, well, there's
what's the common thread?
Well, we look at the malnutrition as being a factor, but we have to also consider a lot of the chemicals we're being exposed to. And what's happening is because we're not eating enough animal fat in the diet, we need the animal fat to help with detoxification in the body. So if you're not eating enough animal fat in the diet, it's very, very hard to detoxify a lot of these chemicals that we're being exposed to. So essentially, you're going to start holding on to them. And that's why we're seeing so many problems in terms of the neurotoxic effects and the hormonal effects of these chemicals.
And just a really quick word on fluoride. Mr. Arcer is taking it to City Hall. It's going to be debated next week.
Yeah, I just hope that they word it properly on the actual vote on the plebiscite. I hope they say it's hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Most people can't even say that.
Yeah, but that's what they're adding. It's a toxic waste product from the fertilizer industry. That's what they're adding to our city water. And so along with it, you're going to get other agents like arsenic, for example, which is unacceptable. So they're not adding a pharmaceutical-grade fluoride to our city water. That's what's in toothpaste. What they're adding into our city water is a toxic waste product. So I think if they do word it on the plebiscite, they have to actually clarify that it's a certain form of fluoride that's going into our water, and it's unacceptable.
Terrific. 11 o'clock news coming up next. On the other side of the news,